Hey, you want that to go?
Now time for takeouts on stories that we're following this week. And first, we got to go to Louise Story, the Wall Street and finance reporter for our partner, the New York Times. A lot of business news, but let's talk about Bear Stearns. They are heading to Capitol Hill. They're going to be speaking to members of the Financial Crisis Inquiry Commission. So first, remind us of what this Inquiry Commission is doing. And second, what are they asking Bear Stearns about?
You may not have thought about Bear for a while, Celeste, because you know, it's been over 2 years. Hard to believe it's been over 2 years since Bear collapsed.
Right.
Bear who? But their executives are being hauled up in front of this commission, which, you know, the commission is trying to establish what were the causes of the financial crisis. And the topic of this hearing that is paired with Bear is the shadow banking system, which is this murky area where banks are able to lend from all sorts of off-balance sheet vehicles and hedge funds and do these transactions in ways that often are not obvious in their financial statements but help them borrow more money. And some people think that this borrowing made companies like Bear Stearns and Lehman and Merrill a lot more susceptible to failure and also helped them mask their risky mortgage holdings.
Well, they're expected to claim that they were overwhelmed by what was going on and that they were victims just like everyone else, right?
Absolutely. I read the prepared testimony for the two former CEOs there, Jimmy Cain and Alan Schwartz, last night. And they both in their testimony have kind of a, you know, befuddled, eyes shocked, wide open feel of, we just didn't see it coming. We can't believe this bank run that came, and it was irrational and illogical. And that's what they're saying. But you'll see the commission today pushing back on that, saying, wait a minute. You, like all of the other investment banks, have all these practices, many of them legal, that make your balance sheet look better than it was. And that helped you cover up some of the mortgage holdings. So you'll see the commission, I think, pushing back on this idea of kind of innocent victim.
Does it sound to you like the commission wants to crack down on shadow banking? And in that case, who stands to suffer the most from that?
The commission's taking a hard look at it. You know, they don't come up with new rules, but their findings may inform future legislation.
Yeah, right.
And here's who would be affected. Hedge funds and all of these off-balance sheet vehicles that, you know, typically you think hedge funds don't need to disclose very much because they have sophisticated investors. But if they're doing transactions with banks that possibly hide things at banks, then there's a legitimate argument. Should we know more about those transactions from the banking point of view?
Right. Okay. So they could get more disclosure coming from even from hedge funds. Louise Story is the business and finance reporter for our partner, the New York Times.
Well, they're not exactly changing the guard at Buckingham Palace. Rob Watson joins us, political correspondent for our partner, the BBC, in Cheltenham in the west of England. Good morning, Rob.
Good morning, and some of your listeners, anyone who's got a bit of an interest in horse racing or 18th century architecture, they know where I'm talking from.
Yes, indeed, but it is election time. The Tories appear to be coming back to power in Britain. Where does the campaign stand right now?
Well, it certainly is election time, and you better believe it, walking around the streets of Cheltenham. Where does it stand? Well, as you said, the opinion polls suggest that the Conservatives do have a clear lead. But given the vagaries of Britain's parliamentary system and its 650 constituencies, it's not entirely clear from those opinion polls that they've got enough of a lead to actually win a majority and form the next government.
Now, this has really changed radically over the last 4 months. I mean, the Tories were hugely favored as recently as 2 months ago. What has changed here, and how has Gordon Brown managed to narrow this?
But you guys changed it. It's the influence of America. Let me explain myself. I mean the televised debates. You're absolutely right, John, that a couple of months ago, Britain's election looked being something like this, a referendum on 13 years of the Labour government. And most commentators thought that they were going to lose that referendum, given the problems that Britain has with its budget deficit, other economic problems. But it was the televised debates. It was that American import which changed everything. And it's not so much that it helped Gordon Brown, but rather that it helped Britain's third party, the Liberal Democrats, who basically stand to gain votes from both the Conservatives and Labour. So that is what has made it very much a three-horse race and really turned British politics and campaigning upside down.
Have the debates made it candidate-driven or simply raised the fortunes of the Liberal Democrats because people get to really look at them in a fundamentally new way?
Both. I mean, it's definitely become much more presidential. And of course, you've got a lot of people grumbling about that in Britain, saying, oh, well, you know, we don't have a presidential system. We're a parliamentary democracy. So people have... it's strange, really. People think the debates are a good idea. It's good to see the leaders answering questions, but they're not sure about the whole personality game. But absolutely, what it did, what the televised debates did, was to give equal airtime to the third party. And one has to say, what were they thinking of in Conservative and Labour headquarters, not realising this is exactly what would happen? If you give them equal airtime, the voters will go, oh, well, I'll have a look at the Liberal Democrats then.
Well, I've had you go on now for about 3 minutes without mentioning anything more about architecture from the 17th and 18th century there in Cheltenham. Could you give us an insight into the editorial policies of our partner, the BBC, as to why you're in Cheltenham this morning?
Yes, very quickly. Cheltenham is one of those seats that the Conservatives really have to win. It's a marginal seat. If you think about it, there are 650 constituencies, and there's probably about 150 that are really, really close. Some are a very tight race between Conservatives and Liberal Democrats, some between Conservatives and Labour. And we came to Cheltenham because it's very close between Conservative and Liberal Democrats, and the Conservatives really need to win this seat if they want to be form a majority.
All right, so if you're watching the returns tomorrow, it's not tomorrow, I guess. When will we know?
Well, probably in the very early hours of
Thursday morning.
So I'm just trying to working it out for your time. So, you know, breakfast time-ish.
Yeah, well, we'll get you out of bed. Don't worry. It's Prime Minister Gordon Brown versus Conservative Party candidate David Cameron and the Liberal Democrats in there as well. Rob Watson, political correspondent for our partner, the BBC, in Cheltenham in the west of England. Thanks, Rob.
Thank you.